I want you to like send out your proposal with like mediocre white dad energy. Like, why not you?
This episode is sponsored by the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School's Self-Starter Program. It's perfect for freelancers who are ready to ditch low-paying VA work and step into high-value digital marketing roles. Learn at your own pace, master in-demand marketing skills, and build a business you love that pays well and gives you flexibility. Get started now at udmaschool.com. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found the Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. Hey, it's Emily Reagan, and I help virtual assistants step into their higher power where they make more money as marketing assistants and specialists and beyond. So if you are already doing some of the marketing tasks in your client's business, then you need to dump the VA title and start calling yourself a marketer. Start leaning into higher strategy, more management, and then you can command higher rates. So today's episode is really about commanding those higher rates and presenting as a professional who knows what she's doing, right? Today on the podcast, I have Brittany McBean, my friend here in Richmond, Virginia, but also a launch strategist, conversion copywriter who specializes in anti-sleazy, ethical, high-converting copy for online course creators and educators. She is going to walk us through how to have our proposal get more signed clients. We're going to talk about why vague proposals are costing you premium clients and what to include instead, one email to send right away after your sales call that makes writing your proposal 10 times easier, and how to structure your proposal like a persuasive sales page so clients say yes without ghosting. Hey, Brittany, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here talking about high-end proposals and what our freelancers need to do with that. You've been in the work group. You've been on the podcast before. Welcome back. Tell everyone a little bit about you if they haven't met you yet.
Yeah, not much to tell. I'm Brittany McBean. I live in Richmond, Virginia, just down the road from Emily. So we are like real life friends. Like our daughters know each other and we get to hang out with each other at each other's house, which I've seen her legs, which I can't say for most of the people in the online industry. I am a marketing strategist and a launch copywriter. And I have become known, yes, for my work as a launch strategist and a marketing strategist, but also for how I have productized my premium services while continuing to provide excellent premium service and a premium product for my clients while kind of shortening that sales cycle and offering a really high-end product at a high-end price and having really happy clients and customers at the end of it. And so that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, the goal, I think, for everyone in my work group, people listening to the podcast who are freelancers, is how do I book more clients and how do I get paid more? And part of that whole sales process is the proposal. So let's start at the beginning. What's the actual goal of a proposal and what are we trying to do here as freelancers with this asset?
That's a great question. I think that it depends on the kind of work you're going after, right? So when we first start out, we often view a proposal as, this is the information I give you so that you can give me an invoice, like sign the dotted line, we get together. This is like just in writing. I've maybe told you over the email, over the phone, and now like this is in writing, good to go, right? And as you are advancing in your career, maybe increasing your skill set, maybe wanting to increase your prices or work with other clients who may be a little bit further along in their career, it becomes a sales document. It becomes a part of your sales process where you are now using this as a persuasion asset, persuasion document. And so I've often talked about this part in my like first year of business where I was, just figuring out what I wanted to do and, trying to learn copywriting, all that stuff. But what I really got good at, you know, my first few clients wasn't great, but just like really, really kind of honed in on what I wanted to do. I was working for about $2,500 writing a website. Like, not bad at all. Definitely more than I'd ever gotten paid for anything at one time in my life. But also, it was a lot of work. And I was thinking, you know, I'm really proud of what I'm putting out. I've taken some courses, taken some classes. I'm ready to increase my rates. And so what happened was I raised my rates and the people coming in the door didn't change, but my conversion rates dipped significantly. So I still had people inquiring. I still had leads coming in the door. I was still getting on sales calls and I increased my rates. And now that I had testimonials and work to show for it, people stopped responding to my proposals. You know, I started sending out like $3,200 proposals or $4,000 proposals or $5,000 proposals and then heard crickets, as opposed to every time I sent out a $2,500 proposal, people were like, thumbs up, yes, let's go, right? And so I realized that I not only had to increase my process, increase how I was presenting my work and the quality of my presentation of my work and my sales process, but I also had to change the lead. I had to change the audience coming in the door because I was now elevating my service. You don't just raise your prices, right? You are elevating your service and then charging accordingly, right? We're not like raising your rates is not price gouging. We're not charging more than what something is worth. We have increased the quality of our service and then we are charging accordingly. That's what's happening. But when you increase the quality of your service, you change the customer for your service. And so when you change the customer for your service, you increase the quality of your service and you increase the price in your service, you now have to change the sales process to fit, to communicate the quality to that new customer so that you are signaling the value, you're signaling the quality, and you're raising the green flags that they would expect to see, that they're automatically looking for, and not raising the red flags, because that customer, and it's not a matter of like low-end, high-end, good customer, bad customer. That client, same customer, that client who's a little earlier on in their career might not have an expectation. You might send them a Google Doc with like three things listed and a number, and they're like, thumbs up, great, where do I sign? Because they don't have an expectation. That is not a red flag to them. They have not had a negative experience and they don't know to look for more details because they haven't done this before. They don't know what road bumps come along or where the problems might lie. But the client who has been around the block a few times, hired, fired, worked with a million people, has made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, whatever, has an established business, when you send them a Google Doc with 50 words on it, that's a red flag. They're going to say, thank you, but no thank you, because you have signaled to them you were early on in your career. And they are now looking to partner with someone at a similar level of business with them. So your proposal goes from a Google Doc with a few words on it describing what you'll do to a detailed sales document that communicates the value of your service, because you are now charging for what you're already doing, the value and the quality of work that you do, and communicates that you are doing work at the same level of business as your client. This does not mean you have the same revenue as your client, the list that your client does, right? You're in a different field. You're in a different industry, but you're capable of doing work at the level of your client. You're capable of working in their business. So that is a very long answer to the question, what is a proposal?
I'm glad there's so much in there, but you hit something there that my audience really needs to hear, which is why I brought you in here, why you've been in the work group, is elevating to match that level of expectation. And times have changed. Like back in 2017, Brittany, I didn't even do proposals. I would send a very low-key email. I don't even think I had a work email domain and just say my rates. And people are like, great. And now we have to communicate and articulate our value. And I like that you talked about it's like a traffic problem, right? It's like, it's about the quality of the lead. And I think that's what a lot of people get wrong, thinking, oh, I just upped my rates. And then why is everyone ghosting me? And they're not looking at the original traffic source or that who that prospect was, if they were vetted. And so that, like, that's part of the equation we definitely have to address. But let's assume we've vetted, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting good leads. We're doing our research. We're having really good sales calls. I have seen a lot of crappy proposals. You've actually even helped me with mine when I was doing fractional CMO work. I mean, I don't know why I said was, and like gave a look at that. And it's so funny in this space, we kind of look at each other's stuff. Like I have a couple of friends where I looked at their proposals and we give each other feedback because it's really such a hard process and it's such an important document. And I just want my people to understand how critical this is. If you want to charge more, if you want to be seen as an expert, you've got to have the assets and the brand that matches. And this is a critical point.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, one of the things, so I have truly off the charts ADHD, like on so much medication, it barely even scratches the surface. But one of the ADHD superpowers is pattern recognition. And it's so easy to sit here and be like, oh, they're saying like, I have to get a CRM and I have to like design it. And that's just, okay, I have to do more work. Okay, yes, maybe we're saying some of those things, but the times they haven't changed. And when I say pattern recognition, what I'm saying is we have to acknowledge what has happened over the last like 5, 7, 10 years in our industry and in the economy. Okay. We cannot ignore what is going on in the economy and how that is affecting these businesses. And so when the cash was flowing, when there was a money booth going on, people, service providers or entrepreneurs or business owners could afford to make hiring mistakes. Yeah. They were not conscious about it. They were not saying, I can afford to flush this money down the toilet. But they could afford to be less thoughtful about their hiring decisions. They could afford to hire someone only to fire them, right? And that actually happened quite a lot. And so not only did people waste money, but they got burned by a lot of service providers. So two things happened. They are now more cash strapped, but they also learned the lesson that a lot of service providers will bill themselves one way or can be very persuasive or can have a good portfolio or could even have some good recommendations or can say they can do one thing. And then when they show up in their business, it's a very different story. I myself have hired people that came with excellent references and excellent portfolios and interviewed incredible. And there's no doubt in my mind that they could do the job. However, when I hired them, they were having some sort of life experience or were in a season where they were actually not capable of doing that work. And I had to let them go. And that has made me very, very cautious and very diligent about how I hire. And my process has changed, right? So all of that to be said, people are now much more thoughtful about how they spend their money, much more strategic. They're definitely thinking more long-term. They're thinking more holistic. They might be looking for fewer people to do more things, not necessarily for less money. I'm not talking about lowering your prices because there's less money. They're just looking for quality and stability and sustainability. And they're looking for those green flags, those signals that show them this is a good hiring decision. And so we do have to look at context. We do have to look at patterns. So that being said, I have a course called The Premium Proposal because I really do think that these things can be templatized. Okay. And I use some I's words. It is a lot easier if your services are productized. I think you can only productize your service if you have done this a time or two, because you really do have to figure out what you are good at. If you have systemized your process, how you can repeat this, even if you are customizing it, there's another I's word, for multiple clients, how you can repeat this, at least your proprietary process, again and again and again, even if you're doing custom work. And so, yes, if you have like 1, 2, 3 signature services, it is so much easier, but you can still have a proposal template for a high-end service, a high-end client that you can customize each time, but it's going to save you hours that allows you to have something that is more involved, more in-depth, and creates those signals so that it's not just like, Rennie and Emily said I need to do this in Canva, so I'm doing this in Canva, but why? Because why actually matters. And so I have kind of mapped out these 8 things that I think need to go in your proposal. And so yes, 8 is more than 3. It's more than 5. It's not the sexiest number in the world. There are other ways to do this. This is not the one and only way, but I do think that this gives you some bullet points to go off of as you are writing yours. So if it's okay, I can walk through those 8 things and you can just kind of throw them in yours and throw them in your template next time. And then the next time someone comes in the door, you have something to work off of. And like my first proposal that I still send out, like my first template took me 8 hours. That's a whole day's worth of work. And it has made me like over $500,000 in just client work. So that 8 hours was worth it.
Have you ever had a client comment on your proposal?
Yes, all the time.
What do they say?
Just like, I've never received something like this from a service provider. And like, I wasn't sure about what I was getting. And now I'm confident what I'm getting. Or I've interviewed other people or talked to other people and they were great. But at the end of the day, I didn't know what working with them would look like. But now I do. And more than that, because here's the thing. Anecdotal evidence is just that. So just because something works for one person or somebody has had feedback does not mean shit. Honestly, it doesn't. What I found that was fascinating is the students I've worked with, both inside like the mentorship program that I have, which includes all of the content in the premium proposal, and the students who have just grabbed the premium proposal course, because it's like, it's literally just a DIY. The videos are 15 minutes long. You could watch everything in 90 minutes and then just like run with it. What I hear, which is so amazing to me, is that those students have consistent feedback from their clients, and that feedback is similar, like the same thing. Like those clients are saying to them, I was interviewing other people, I was talking to other people, I was talking to other copywriters, other designers, whatever, and I did not consider anybody else once I saw your proposal because this was so detailed, because I didn't know I was getting with anybody else, because like I didn't trust them or whatever. So the fact that people are consistently getting that same feedback really signals something to me.
Yeah. And that ties into what you were saying with this mistrust of the service provider freelancer community. And I can't tell you how many proposals I've looked at that were so vague that actually made me untrust them. Is that a word? You know what I mean? Like I took everything back because once I saw the proposal, it was clear to me they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. And that's such a liability. That's such a liability for the service, like for you, the service provider, the person listening to this, you are going to screw yourself over. Like you are going to do so much more work. You're going to work so out of scope. You're going to give away so much free work. You're going to open yourself up to like chargebacks and lawsuits. Like it is such a liability to like have a vague proposal.
Yeah. And we should touch on that too. It really is the boundaries of our work within that, being clear what you do and what you don't do. And I mean, I remember having a conversation with you about my CMO proposal because I didn't want to open myself to the last CMO job I had. It backfired. I made some mistakes and I just got responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. And I was on the hook and it wasn't sustainable and that didn't work out. I quit. And so for this time, I really wanted to protect myself, and that proposal also leads into the contract. Mm-hmm. And that's why that was also critical. So let's get into what you have about the 8 things that we have to have in our proposal.
And we'll talk about that. And we'll talk a little bit about like doing a proposal and contract and all that. So number one, your proposal has to contain objectives. And that actually ties in a little bit to what I teach in the premium proposal about the entire sales funnel. Because, and here's like your hot tip, you can take this away for free. What I have people do before they send out the proposal, after the sales call, and this is like, it's the easiest, simplest thing, and it is such a big game changer. And this is another thing that clients comment on, and students are like, this made such a difference, and I've seen such a difference. After you get off the sales call, within like 15 minutes, if you can, you send an email, and you're like, love talking to you, here's something great about you, whatever. What I heard from you is, you need 1, 2, 3. These are your objectives. You're repeating back to them what you heard, and so you're like, this is the deliverable, the outcome. You know, you need a marketing assistant who can create 10 social posts a month and edit your videos and maintain your website or whatever it is, right? And then the other two ideally are more like intangible objectives, right? Like someone who can consistently work in your business without a lot of oversight and who you can trust. Or like, but you have to repeat back to them what you've heard on that call, the main challenges and problems that they articulated to you. And it also has to be the deliverables that they came to you wanting, because number one, they're going to say thumbs up, thumbs down, yes, amazing. And if they say thumbs down, if you got it wrong, because guess what? Before I did this, I sent out an entire proposal that I spent hours on to someone and they were like, oh no, actually, sorry, I wanted to see a proposal on something else. So you're not wasting your time or theirs, right? So they're going to be like, yep, you got it right. Or they can be like, oh, no, absolutely not. Sorry, I wanted emails, not social posts. Or like, hey, I thought about this, blah, 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 right? And they're going to be like, oh my God, she heard me. Amazing. Like, incredible. Yes. Okay. So you're going to send that email. Then your proposal is going to contain your objectives. As long as that client gave you the thumbs up, you copy paste. Okay. So your proposal is going to be like, here's what you're looking for, copy paste objectives, right? Then it's going to contain the solution. Now, your proposal is going to start from a more like high level general, and it's going to get more detailed and specific as you go down. So high level, you're going to be like, your objectives is a problem that you're solving, and then the solution is great. So what you're going to get is a marketing assistant in your business every single month to create X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 right? So very high level. This is probably what goes in this section is probably what you're sending out as a proposal right now. This is like, if they're scanning it, cool beans, but dear God, do not leave this there. But this is just like setting them up for scannability, readability, because they need to see something multiple times. So this is the solution that you are offering them, but very few details. So for me, that would be like, you're going to get an entire launch funnel complete with a sales page, a email sales sequence, all the landing pages you need for the webinar, the checkout cart, and the top of funnel ads, right? That's not a proposal, but that is letting them know, okay, end-to-end funnel, got everything, okay? Then the third element is process. You can do this in this order. This is the order I do it, but you can mess with it a little bit. Third element is process. This is where you're outlining your specific proprietary process, ideally in 3 to 5 steps, but like first we do this, then we do this, then we do this, then we do this. So if you're in their business on a monthly retainer, every month on the first of the month, I'm going to send you X. By the fifth of the month, you're going to like give me the thumbs up on this. And then by the 15th of the month, you're going to have this in your Google Drive. And then by the blank of the month, you'll do this. Or first we do research, then we do strategy, then you have your deliverables. You're giving them your process so they know what to expect. Your process is not, I start working in your business, we have a meeting, everyone's happy. And if it is, then don't charge what you want to charge. You have no business raising your rates, okay? The fourth is personality. And this is not like fourth, and it goes all throughout it. This is just where I put this for, I don't know what reason, okay? Your person, this is not a like dry ChatGPT. This is your personality all throughout, like however your website sounds, your proposal should sound, however you sounded on the sales call, like all throughout. This should be very, very memorable. This should not be cut and dry. If you have brand photos, put them in there. Like, yes, this is not a legal document. Part of it will become your contract, but this is not a legal document, okay? All right, number 5, social proof, not a case study. This is a sales page. Rule of sales page is there's nowhere else to go. There is not a link that leads to anything else. A sales page has one link on it, and that goes to the checkout cart. Your proposal has one link on it, and that goes to the invoice and contract, okay? There is no click here to see my portfolio. Click here to read my 2,000-word 5,000-word case study. Absolutely not. You're going to put social proof on there. Ideally, clients that have hired you for the same work that this client wants to hire you for. If somebody referred that client to you, I put that client's, like that referral client's testimonial on that case study because like, likes, like, right? They know that person. They trust that person. I'm going to remind them, hey, that person hired me and they loved me and you're going to love me too, right? If they want to hire me for just a sales page, I'm going to have a testimonial on those. Like, oh, Brittany, for my sales page and our conversions went from 5% to 14% because I have that testimonial. If they want to hire me for an evergreen funnel, right? This is why you're collecting those testimonials. And so maybe you just have only 3 testimonials and those are your standard ones, but then you put them somewhere strategic. Your testimonials are social proof, which means they prove something. So in copy, whether it's a sales page or an email, you put proof where you need to prove a claim that you just made. And so if you're saying something like, we're going to turn your business around, we're going to increase your engagement, we're going to take away your stress, whatever, then you have a testimonial that's like, oh my gosh, Lakeisha changed my entire life. Like my business became so stress-free for the first time ever, right? Yeah. That's what we're doing here, okay? Number 6, the investment. Price has to be there. Period, end of story. And don't pretend, don't make it teeny tiny small. We're not hiding from it. You're charging $1,500 a month because that's what you're worth. That's what your work is worth, not you. We don't put a worth on our personhood. You're invaluable. That's what your work is worth, okay? Don't make it teeny tiny. Number 7.
Okay, real quick. If you've been DIYing your freelance career and feeling stuck in that general VA zone, I've got something for you. The Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School Self-Starter Program is your roadmap to becoming a legit marketing pro without waiting for a live cohort or trying to piece together old YouTube tutorials. Inside, you'll learn practical digital marketing skills that clients actually pay for, like email marketing, funnels, content strategy, SEO, and more. Plus, you'll get tech training, portfolio projects, and swipeable templates to help you land premium clients faster. It's designed for freelancers who want flexibility, freedom, and real income. Whether you're a military spouse, a mom juggling nap time, or someone finally ready to bet on herself. If you're ready to stop dabbling and start sending invoices, head to udmaschool.com, udmaschool.com to enroll now.
The deliverables, obviously, but listen to this. The difference between, now this is my industry, you're going to get a sales page. Actually, no, hold on, I'm going to back up. You'll get all landing pages for a funnel or all landing pages versus you'll get a sales page under 10,000 words. You will get a webinar landing page under 5,000 words, a checkout page under 2,000 words, not including testimonials, versus landing pages for the funnel, which I wrote on my very first contract. And for a website, the client hired me to do a website and sales page. And I wrote landing pages. And the client didn't understand the difference between a website and a landing page. And she wanted me to add on 3 more website pages. And I couldn't justify that the website and landing page was not the same. It was a miserable client. She threatened to charge back. She threatened to contact her lawyer. I had to write 3 more website pages because did not write a good enough, specific enough proposal. Okay. So how many social posts? How many hours? How much? Not Voxer access. You're not giving them Voxer access. You're giving them up to 5 hours Voxer access. And then your contract says additional Voxer will be charged at $50 an hour. Okay. And guess what? Meetings are deliverables. Whatever you are turning in, whatever they are getting to access to you, up to 3 meetings a month, only 1 meeting a month, right? Those are your deliverables. How much do they get? Every single thing that they're investing in that you are offering them within scope is a deliverable. And if you do not include it, it is not included. And if you are not specific, you're screwed. Okay.
Yes. So do a section for what it doesn't include on this?
So yes and no, it depends. Like, remember where I said, you know, at the top, we're starting more vague in general, getting more specific. So I include 1 round of rewrites in all of our copy. And so in the proposal, I will say, like, that is a deliverable. So you would get a sales page. You get 1 round of rewrites on your sales page. You get up to 15 emails. You get 1 round of rewrites on the emails, right? And then in the contract, it says additional edits or rewrites will be charged at $325 an hour. And in my onboarding, I have a very clear document that shows them what a rewrite is, the difference between a rewrite and an edit. A rewrite is not an edit. Like, if you want me to rewrite an entire page, that's not happening. That's an edit. That's like, you're getting charged $325 an hour. If it's like, hey, let's change some of the messaging here, let's change some of the word, right? That's included. That's included in your rewrite, because at that point, we've already agreed on X, Y, and Z. Like, I've had enough checkpoints along that way that shouldn't happen, right?
Yeah.
So the contract isn't saying like necessarily what's not included, but it's saying this will be charged extra or whatever. In the sales call, I am, you know, telling them exactly what is included. And if they're like, okay, so are you going to like install this? And I'm like, oh no, absolutely not. I will break everything you own. You do not to give me your money to put this in your website or your email service provider. You will throw your money down the toilet and I will break everything you own. Absolutely not. But also, it's so detailed that if it's not there, it's obvious it's not included.
Exactly.
And if it is something you're running into every time, here's the thing. If something only happens once, it might be that client. If something's happening multiple times, it's you. You are the problem. Hi, it's you, right? So this is where you go, okay, what do I need to do to solve this, right? Like if somebody is asking for this every single time, they're saying, oh, I thought this included. Then you put a little asterisk and say, does not include.
Right. I think about where it gets dicey with the marketing assistants, and it's like they think, oh, and you will edit all my videos when you're uploading them in Kajabi, and you will, like, whether you're writing the copy or not. And the tech was a good example that you use. So it's like thinking in terms of that, being very clear. But I think obviously the sales call is where that starts. But yeah, if you're specific, you should be good.
And you could do like an add-on section. You could do like an a la carte section. And so like maybe in your proposal, in your signature service, you're like, you know, YouTube management includes weekly uploads, description, SEO, whatever. And then in your a la carte, it's like an extra $50 a video for editing or whatever. I mean, that's probably
like time overage or scripting, like whether you need the script, you know. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Thank you for clarifying that.
And so number eight, the very last thing, I've already said it once, but we're saying it again, details. Details, 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 right? So many. So by details, like we've already talked about like deliverable details, but you need to have things like start date. So not just like, I'll do this for you, whatever. Like our project will start on X date. And it's not tomorrow because that makes you look desperate. Okay. If the client needs it tomorrow, that's great. Too bad. So sad. Right. If they need it tomorrow, then you're like, I would love to work with you. Let me move my calendar around. My next onboarding date is not for the next 2 weeks, but I think we can fit you in 3 days from now. Let me see what I can do, okay? Because you are not available for whatever they need at any moment. Everything you do sets precedent, okay? So the details are start date, timeline. How long is this going to take? Are you doing a six-month contract, a six-month monthly contract, which then you will evaluate? Because guess what? When you get to evaluate, you get to raise your rates, okay? This is not just like indefinite, we love each other forever and ever and ever, amen, right? Client responsibility. What are they responsible for? They need to sign this. They need to get it back to you by X date. If they do not do that, if they do not turn in these things, then you cannot do these things, right? What are they responsible for? They have to show up for their meetings. They cannot send their assistant to meetings, that kind of stuff. The expiration date. Your proposal does have an expiration date because if they come back 3 months from now and you have raised your rates, you are not liable for the rate that you sent them. Or if you are, then you are doing them a favor, right? So your proposal expires 1 week from now. And if they come back, then not only do you have a right to change the rate on the proposal, but you no longer are obligated at that start date because your calendar has filled up. So one thing you can say to them is like, hey, if we need to wait another week, I will honor this rate, but we will have to change the start date, right? You get to choose a payment plan, all of that kind of stuff, right? I do not think there's a such thing as too many details. And I have changed my proposal or my contract or something almost after every single project because I realized there was a gap. There's a detail missing. A client had a misunderstanding. I was on the hook for something that was out of scope. There was a lack of industry knowledge that I thought was assumed. I have gone back and added in a detail, answered a question. Like if there's a such thing as too much detail, like if I found that, I will let you know, but I have not. So
always evolving.
Like those are the eight core components. And so what I will say is, yes, my proposal is extremely long. It is multiple, multiple, multiple pages. And my contracts range from on the lowest end, which I don't really do anymore, between 12K for something like a sales page, the highest end about 33K. And that changed when I wanted to increase my price from 2,500. And this is what signals to those clients that that money is money well spent and they will get ROI. And it also is a sales process like this and my onboarding process that continues this level of care and attention to detail that builds trust so that when it comes time for deliverables, and here's the thing, you don't realize what foundation you're setting up. When it comes time for strategy, deliverables, review, and edit, the buy-in is there. There is not pushback. There is not feedback. It is a collaborative process, but the trust and the buy-in is there. I only have one round of edits because very rarely do my clients ever give me edits because this is where the trust is built. they don't have a reason not to trust me. Whereas if I'm not returning emails and they have a million questions that aren't answered and they're insecure and unsure, they don't know when things are happening and what's happening, then by the time we get to copy, it's like, oh, but maybe she should use this word instead of this word. And maybe I know better here. And because I've left them uncertain and insecure throughout the process. And so this makes my life and their life a lot easier and makes you a lot more money.
That makes me think of that, you know, $50 versus $500 client meme that's out there and the experience you're creating. Okay, when you went up in price, did you go through this internal panic? Like, who am I to charge this? Did that happen to you at all? I'm kind of curious about your story. Like, that's a big jump.
No, I have the confidence of a mediocre white man, like the unearned, undeserved, like, why not? Here's my thing. Like, white women earn, like, what is it, like 73% on the dollar? And women of color earn way less than that. People in the LGBTQIA plus community earn way less than that. And how dare I charge less for what my service is worth, especially seeing what it does for clients, knowing how hard I work, knowing what I know, knowing what I'm good at. When that continues to lower the bar for other people that already have like a boot on their neck. Like, I feel like that sets up an expectation for the client that the next person is going, that they can like haggle, that the next person is going to charge less.
Well, that's exactly why we're in the work group. We're sharing prices and we're talking about this because, I mean, we're competing against an overseas contingency of very low priced and now up and coming marketers. And, you know, we have to not be the race to the bottom here and becoming commodities. So with that, is there an area where in our proposals where, you know, freelancers are underselling ourselves, or is there such thing as, I don't want to say overselling, but like, are there areas there that could be improved?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like my first thought is just like, why not you? Like there are bigger idiots, people worse at their job with way more confidence, like way more, like truly, I want you. And like, hey, there are wonderful, kind white men listening to this. Yes, not all men, whatever, right? I want you to like send out your proposal with like mediocre white dad energy. Like, why not you? And I want you to look at the evidence, okay? Let's make fact-based decisions. Do you have evidence that you are not good at this thing? Do you have evidence that you should not be charging, right? If all of your clients, and here's the thing, if you're not good at your job, if you cannot get people results, if you don't know what you're doing, do not increase your rates. Get good at your job, right? This is not price gouging. This is not like, take money from people that you have, that you don't, whatever, like that. No, it's not that. Look around. If you don't have clients saying, hey, you're not able to do your job. Hey, I'm chasing you down. Hey, like you're not turning in your work. Hey, I've got to fire you. Hey, your work isn't performing, right? And I'm not talking about like those really, really, really like crappy clients that you can't ever make happy. I'm talking about just like really reasonable, normal people. And we have like all of your clients have ever hired you, right? If like 5 out of 5 clients are like, hey, got to fire you, right? That's evidence that you need to go get better at your job. And you should probably keep your rates at an entry-level rate until you improve your service, right? But if you look around and you are working your butt off to get things right, you're increasing your knowledge, which you are, you're listening to this, you're in Emily's like courses, you're in the work group, right? You're increasing your skill set, you're increasing your knowledge, you're working in the industry, you're working to improve your work, you're working to improve your client's business on, like in a customized way. Your clients are giving you like positive feedback, you have good testimonials, that is evidence that you are good at what you do. Like look for the evidence. And then you look at the rate and you say, I am not charging for what I am doing. We are not price gouging. You are literally saying, I now need to make my price equivalent for what it's worth. The penguins are charging more. Like the penguins are taxing us, okay? We can charge more. The raspberries are charging more. Like, just have the confidence of a raspberry. That's it.
They're so good. They're so expensive. They're so good. Okay, like, well, let me flip that a little bit. So say we are more experienced. We are newer. Can we still write a strong proposal when we're feeling inexperienced and a little bit unsure?
Yes, because I will tell you right now, a client will take someone reliable and predictable and hardworking over someone with experience and talent that is going to flake out and ghost them and not turn things in 100 days out of 100. I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself. I can speak for a lot of people that I know because, yes, a lot of the work that you're doing is very specialized and is a learned skill. And some of the work that you're doing is not the hardest thing in the world. Actually, you know what I'm going to say? 99% of what you're doing, you can jump in and learn the job. And you have the tools to learn it, right? Like if you look at Emily's course, like everything you need is in there. You have the tools to learn it and you have the tools to learn it on the job. And if you are someone who can hit a deadline, you can send freaking email, you can communicate, you can let someone know, hey, I'm not going to hit my deadline because you've actually given me too many things on my plate or something came up, which is fine. And you're just not ghosting them. You're not ignoring them in Slack, right? You're not turning your notifications off. And you're going to like let them know how things are, like whatever it is. If you're reliable, if you're communicative, if you're easy to work with, if you fit well within their business, if you do what you say you're going to do and you can learn on the job, you are way more attractive as a candidate than someone who's been in the industry for 20 years and makes everyone uncomfortable, makes everyone have to do their work for them because they're not doing their job. That makes the entire team miserable. So you communicate your value and your worth. You highlight and show off what you do well, which is the resources, like your strengths are the resources you have available to you, your grit, your ability to work. Like, what do you have in your past that does apply, that is transferable? Your previous job where you had to be highly organized and incredibly proactive and very like forward thinking and outside the box and creative, right? All of that translates. All of that translates. And you talk about that in your interview or, you know, your sales call, and you make sure that that shows through in the proposal. And because you have access to really good resources, when you find out what they need in that sales call, then you go like beef up those fancy schmancy industry words even more in the proposal, right? And when you write that objective email, you just like really quick run into the course and you're like, okay, I need to use like this word, this word, this word, and this word, and this word. Like, just you fake it until you fucking make it, but only if you can do it really well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before I ask you the biggest mistake people make on their proposals, I want you to tell me about your mini course, the premium proposal.
Yeah. You know, this is actually something that I really, really believe strongly in because of the feedback that I've gotten. I've had products that I've like pulled off the shelf because I'm just like, you know what? This worked for me internally and maybe it's not for everyone. This is something I've actually like done multiple iterations of to get where it is. And I'm really proud of it because it is bite-sized, it is tangible, it is actionable. And I've consistently gotten feedback that people were able to watch the videos, take the templates, and change up their sales process and get results. Because I can't change your leads coming in the door, but when you get leads coming in the door, this can help you secure them. And when we are in the economy that we are in, you have to make every lead, every sales call, every sale, every proposal count, like way more than we did before. And so the premium proposal is not just about how to write your proposal. It's actually my entire sales process. And so I give you a premium sales funnel. And so I'm showing you how to have your clients inquire, what to have them like fill out when they inquire, what email templates to send them between the inquiry and the sales call, how to run the sales call, how to send that email in between, what to send the proposal, like the follow-up sequence, the invoice and the contract. And you get all the templates. You get the email templates, you get the proposal template. You get an example of my $25,000 proposal that has secured me multiple $25,000 contracts. And if this was just something that worked in my business, it wouldn't be worth anything at all. But the fact that it has helped multiple service providers secure multiple contracts at higher rates and that those their clients have consistently commented on it, it's something I really believe in. And I think it's something that hopefully can really be helpful right now while we really need to maximize all of our efforts.
Yeah. And I just can't stress this enough, but what I'm seeing in the online space is I'm just seeing more sophisticated business owners out there, and they realize contractors need to come into their business with skills. not be misclassified as an employee. And so much of that and what I talk about in EDMA school is starting with the power and realizing the value you bring to the table. And I love that this is such a good demonstration of it at that higher level. Again, number one complaint in the work group is, and freelancers I talk to, is like securing those higher level clients. And we say premium, you know, it could be a range depending on our services, yeah. But y'all, this is like your Tough Love podcast. Like y'all got to step it up with how you're showing up with your clients, and you have to kick off the relationship with this trust that you're talking about. And so this is like amazing. I've been through the course. I've seen some of your testimonials from friends of mine. It's amazing. We've had a couple work group members take it as well. I always hear good things. So with that said, we'll put a link to the premium proposal in the show notes, of course. And there's also something you have in there that you didn't even mention, your pricing calculator.
Yeah, that might be really helpful. I'm pretty sure you can check it out like through the sales page, or I mentioned the course. I'll double check, but it's actually an obnoxious amount of math. This actually took me an insane amount of time to put together. Like I would have not done it if I knew how much math it was, but you don't have to do any math. You don't have to, which is great. It really helps service providers quantify the actual value of their work by truly understanding what it costs them, like literal costs based on like how many hours they want to work in a week, how many vacation days they want to take a year, how much it actually takes them, like how long it actually takes them to complete a service, and then working that out so that they can see what their work is worth, how many clients they can take on at a time, all of that stuff, so that you're actually, we're not just guessing. We're not just like literally throwing a dart and being like, I want to charge $1,000 because my friend does, right? Or like this other person charges. Like, yes, you have to be in line with industry, but it also gives you, there are some helpful decision makers in there. So like if the number doesn't feel, if you like run all the numbers and you're like, I'm 2 hours a day and I want to take 100 vacation days a year. My work takes me, you know, 100 hours to do. And like, so I'm going to charge $500,000 a month, right? And then you're like, oh, wait, this is not in line with industry standards. Then it'll show you maybe to change how long it takes us to do this service. And maybe we want to change how many vacation days we can take a year. And so it helps you figure out where to go if something may not be aligned with your industry or your prices might be too low and you actually need to make more, that kind of thing. So it's an obnoxious amount of math that you don't have to do, but can help you actually look and see if your prices are in line with like the money you actually have to make to put food on your table.
I think what you said is the data behind it, mm-hmm. giving you confidence in that price that's on their proposal. Okay.
So it also helps you see if the work you're doing takes you too long. If yeah. you're doing too much work for what you're charging, you have to figure out how to do what you're doing faster or like charge more or do way, way less and charge way, way less. Something's got to give.
I feel like that's like a whole nother conversation we can have. Oh, I had like so many thoughts go through my brain yeah. on that one. Okay, Brittany, what is the number one mistake you see on proposals from our fellow freelancers?
We've talked about it, not enough details, because the best time to set a boundary is before you need to. No one is mad at you setting an expectation early on. No one is upset when you tell them exactly what they're getting. They are upset and you will have conflict and they think they're getting something else and you have to tell them that they're not, right? Or even worse, they ask you to do it the first time and we really have trouble setting boundaries and we're like, okay, sure, I'd love to do that for you. And then you're like 6 months in and you've built a resentment and you hate that client and they have no idea why, right? Not enough details, like word count, number, hours, meetings, and then what it costs them if they are to add on more. And if adding on more is not an option, it's not an option. And then when they ask, your job is to say no, or you say, we only have X scoped out in our contract. However, for the first time, I'm happy to add this on free of charge. Next time, it will be a charge of X, Y, and Z. Or when they ask, you say, I would be happy to do that for you. I can do X for Y amount starting on A date. It will take B amount of time. Would you like me to send you an invoice? Because all of that is already in your contract and what you were going to do is already in your proposal. When you run into a problem in a project, which you will, people will be upset with you. Don't take it personally. You messed up because we cannot foresee everything, right? When you don't include something, when you miscommunicate something, when you use the wrong language, when they don't understand because they're not knowledgeable in the industry, whatever, take a note. Now you know for next time, immediately go in and change your contract or your proposal or your sales call or your onboarding, whatever you need to do, make a change to communicate that effectively. There's no such thing as too much details. And if it's getting too wordy, if it's too long, that's where you go to our good friend ChatGPT and go, hi, make this more concise and do not lose any detail.
You know, I was looking for like a 60-second reel on that answer.
You got to tell me that.
It's amazing. Also, I have to say this. One of the biggest things you helped with my proposal, because you know, you're in it. Like when you're writing and when you're doing designing, you just stop seeing, yeah. Right? You just formatted it. And it's so silly because that's something I'm normally good at, but you just went in there and you're like doing magic with bullets and headlines and bold. And I'm like, oh, Emily, like, you know about UX. Like, why did I like not even think about that? I was so concerned with the content. I forgot about that readability, the skimmability, yes, and all of how my client would consume it. And if you just like fire hose them and overwhelm them from the beginning, that's not going to start well either. That's probably not assisting you.
Yeah. When you go from like a Word doc to a sales page, headlines, subhead, bullets. And that's why I have that like general at the top, because we just need to like, what are we getting? And then we get more like granular and specific, right? Just like tell them what you're going to tell them the thing, and then tell them what you told them, yeah. Right? But yes, readability is huge. It's a sales page. My proposal is like 3,000 words long. It's a sales page.
I think that's the big aha for all of you listening. It's a persuasive sales page. Give your proposals some attention. Brittany, this has been amazing. Where's the best place to connect with you?
Oh, anywhere, everywhere, nowhere. You can send me a message on Instagram. I will probably respond to it.
At least you'll post pictures of your dogs. We'll all enjoy that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Brittany.
If you want to know more about creating your own premium proposal, if you're a work group member, hop inside your library. We have this training with Brittany McBean. There's also an in-depth course that she offers called the Premium Proposal. It will help you improve your process, give you the swipe copy, the email templates. Again, that link to Brittany's Premium Proposal is down in the show notes. If you like this show, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And I would love your feedback. Tell me. Let me know. info@EmilyReaganPR. Do you have a premium proposal? What's blocking you? How is your proposal process going? We'd love to hear from you. You can also find me over on Instagram @EmilyReaganPR. All right. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
With like, what is it? Like, what's the spiel here that, oh my God, Brittany, this is going to be horrible. Like, if oh my God, Brittany, business owners, like, hold on, my cat. Hang on one second.
Hey, friend.
Hey, dude, what are you doing? Hey, cat.
Hold on, Brittany.
That's my deaf cat. He's just going to sit there and meow and, like, not listen to me.
I can't hear anything.
Well, it's, like, drives me crazy.